invite you to remain standing this morning as we hear from the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then all the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We are well on our way to Christmas. It's the second Sunday of December, and it's also the second Sunday of Advent. The snow was falling last week. You probably have your Christmas decorations up. You may have begun your Christmas shopping, and perhaps you're starting to make plans for your Christmas celebrations. And now you have the last thing I know that you have been waiting for to get you in the Christmas spirit. Coming to church and hearing John the Baptist in his camel hair clothes, eating his locusts and wild honey, and yelling about broods of vipers and being cut down and thrown into the unbearable fire. Now it's Christmas. Now we can celebrate. So you aren't alone if you think that this scripture for the morning is a little strange. But every year, the worldwide church dedicates this second Sunday of Advent to our friend John the Baptist. In his crazy clothes, eating his crazy locusts, and his crazy yelling, and out calling us to repent. So there has to be a reason behind this. What is it about Advent that calls us to repentance? Well, there's the history of the season. Traditionally in the church, Advent has been a season of repentance, of getting yourself right before God as you prepare for the birth of Christ. That's why we wear black robes and purple stoles during Advent, two colors that have long been associated in our church with repentance. But there's more to it than that, and I think it's in many ways connected to this idea of preparing ourselves for Christ. The problem is that too often in the church, when we talk about preparing ourselves for the birth of Christ, we make it kind of weird and completely unattainable. It becomes about not celebrating Christmas too early, or we make people feel guilty for like going to their kid or grandkid's Christmas event and not being at a church thing. Or we tell people that it's the presents or the time and celebrating Christmas doesn't really matter. And if we just stopped all that stuff that our world said about Christmas, we could have this very spiritual and holy Christmas, and that would be somehow possible and good for our lives. And then we talk about repentance and Advent, and everybody just feels guilty and not worthy and like they're not doing good enough or they're not celebrating Christmas right. And their whole month of December is just being judged by God for not doing it right. But what if that's not actually why we're talking about repentance? What if this religious talk of guilt isn't what John or Jesus had in mind? After all, it's the religious people, the ones who are making other people feel guilty, that John the Baptist is calling the brood of vipers. What if John the Baptist's call to repentance, then, is more about getting your life in line with Christ's love? What if we are talking about repentance to actually make our lives better and not worse? What if this repentance that John the Baptist is calling us to actually brings us to the peace of Christ? Well, if that's the case, and I think it probably is, the first thing we need to do is redefine how we often think of repentance. Often when we think of repenting for something, we think of saying we're sorry. Or if we're being really good, we might say we're sorry and then like try not to do that thing again. But that's not really repentance. That's apologizing, which is good and a part of repentance, but not really the whole picture. So allow me to tell you a story about not repentance to maybe help. When I was little, my older sister was really into Christmas presents, like more than the average kid. And she was also really into trying to figure out what her Christmas presents were going to be before Christmas. So every year at our time when our parents were busy enough to not really be paying super close attention, she would invite me to come play with her in her room. This was a big treat for me because as the youngest, I was not allowed to be in her room without permission. So we would play for a while, and then she would suggest that we would play in the closet. I was game for anything, so I just followed along. She would then take me into her closet and say, "If you tell me what you got me for Christmas, and if you tell me anything you know Mom and Dad got me, then I'll tell you what I know about your Christmas presents." She would say, "You go first." So she would make me go first, and I would dutifully tell her what I knew. Then she would promptly kick me out of her room without living up to her end of the bargain. But she would quickly apologize so as not to make waves among our parents. And then the next year, I would fall for the entire thing all over again. This came up at our Thanksgiving this year because it's becoming clear that my niece has inherited her mother's love of presents. So my brother-in-law, perhaps seeing the future, asked if my sister feels bad about doing this to me. She admits she doesn't feel bad at all. She said she would still do this if I would fall for it. So that's not repentance. That's not even apologizing. So what is repentance if it's more than a half-hearted apology for something that we aren't really sorry for? So the root meaning of the word repentance is to turn. In other words, repent means to change direction. Kind of like last night during the Big Ten Championship, Ohio State was playing in a bad way. Then they went in at halftime and they repented. They turned around, they came out, they played in a good way. That's what we're talking about. So it means you turn away from your old behavior and practices, and you turn into new behavior and practices. So at its core, repentance means you have to change. To repent means you not only change your outside behavior, you also change your heart. And really, we need to change our hearts first. Our behavior and our practice stems from our hearts. If our hearts haven't changed, our behaviors are just a show, and they're not going to be able to keep up. So how are our hearts changed? Well, our hearts are changed by Christ. We can't change our hearts by ourselves. That work comes through the grace of Jesus. It comes when we realize that things are not as they should be. Not just with other people or with our world, but actually deep within our souls, things aren't as they should be. That something is not right with us, and it's causing us to live out of line with God's will for our lives. And so we turn to Christ to change our hearts. This is something that Christ offers us, because Christ came and lived among us, was born in a manger, and he died and conquered death, so we might have grace and salvation and an offer for repentance. So when John the Baptist proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," he did it because he knew that Jesus had come to our world to take everything that was going in the wrong direction and turn it around, even into our hearts. So to repent, we allow Christ to change our hearts. And then to repent, we change our lives to bear good fruit. This means that our behavior and our practices start going in the same direction that God is calling us to. It means not only do we stop doing the bad stuff we know is not of God, it means we replace the bad with something good. Something that will bring about more of God's love and goodness. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they weren't doing this, and that's the core reason why John the Baptist is so upset with them. They were relying on their status and on their power to be what counted before God. They couldn't open their hearts enough even to notice that they were wrong, let alone to try to turn into something good. They were so sure that they were right, they couldn't think that God was possibly calling them to be the ones to repent and to turn to a different way of life. So to repent means to turn around. In order to repent, we must allow Jesus to change our hearts. And then we change our lives to line up with what's happened inside of us. Now, I know that this repentance talk can be a little abstract. So I wanted to give us first some good questions to ask ourselves about repentance. And then I want to offer a little Advent repentance challenge. So here are some good questions to consider in your life where you might need repentance. So first, think, what is God calling me to do? Use this question not just for like big life-changing things, but to consider every day where your desires and passions line up with God's will. Think about what kind of life God desires you to live. Think about how others and how your time and how what you do, how what you have might fit into that. Then ask yourself, how is my life out of line with that? Use that question to consider where it is that you aren't currently living into who God is calling you to be. Think about where in your life things aren't lining up. Think about relationships or commitments that don't fit into God's vision for you. Then finally ask, what can I do to get back on track? Use this question to think about how you can change your life. What new direction do you need to go in? Think about how you might change. So what is God calling me to? How is my life out of line with that? And then what can I do to get back on track? So those are the questions. And now here's the challenge. Do 2 acts of repentance between now and Christmas. Just 2. And I'm even going to give you a little hint about each of them. Because sometimes the thing about repentance is that it can become so big and overwhelming. We just think about all the problems in our world or in our lives, and then we just don't do anything. So just 2 acts. 1 individual, 1 communal. So let's talk about that. So first, think about 1 piece of your life where you feel God is calling you to repent. Perhaps there's an unhealthy relationship in your life to repair. Perhaps there's a way you can be using your time differently. Perhaps there's a promise that you made that you need to follow through on and keep. Perhaps there's a new practice for you to start. Perhaps there's a way you can change your conversation or your communication with somebody for the better. Now remember, this isn't about simply saying that you're sorry or being guilted into thinking you're doing bad or actually hoping that the other person will change so that you don't have to change. This is about changing your life to line up with the change that Christ wants to provide in your heart. This is about making your life more abundant and more authentic to what God has created you to be. And then second, because repentance isn't only individual, but also communal, think of 1 piece of our communal lives in which you feel God is calling you to repent. So what we're talking about here is there are communal sins that we all are a part of because of how we live, sins of poverty and oppression and injustice in our world. And while we might not fully be able to change those or bring about the kingdom right now through them, there are areas where we can do repentance in our own lives that can bring things about for the better. So this is what I'm talking about. Perhaps there's a way that you can generously give to those in need this season. Perhaps you can volunteer your time. Perhaps you can reach out to somebody who's different than you. Perhaps you can read a book that will challenge you to learn more about an injustice in our society. Perhaps there's an issue or a person that you can pray for daily and then be open to how God might be calling you to do something about that situation. So that's it. Two acts of repentance between now and Christmas. Not to bring about guilt or to make you feel judged, but to truly prepare us for the birth of Christ. And maybe that's what John the Baptist is doing in his kind of weird way. Maybe he's just trying to tell us that there's something better out there than feeling entitled or feeling super religious or fake apologies. And that if we would just turn around, we would be able to wake up on Christmas morning and think, wow, Jesus entered into our messy and broken world, not to condemn us or to scream at us about repentance, but to actually give us hope and peace by being with us and for us and showing what it looks like to live an abundant and authentic life. And then through that joy, we seek to repent, to turn around, to let Jesus change your heart and change your life to line up with the goodness of God. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we thank you that through the gift of your Son, we have the opportunity to live changed lives. Open our hearts, God, to allow Christ to work through them. Allow us to hear your calls to repentance, to new life, to new hope. Amen.